Thank you for joining me again today. In writing to the New Testament church, the physician Luke recorded in Acts chapter 9 and verse 31, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit were multiplied." Note that he says they were walking in the fear of the Lord. In writing to the church at Philippi, the Apostle Paul wrote to them and said in chapter 2 and verse 12 of the book of Philippians, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." This concept of fear and trembling in connection with God is not a popular concept today. People prefer to hear about God's love, His long suffering, and His mercy. And sometimes we point out God's righteous indignation, His holiness, and justice, and people reply, "Well, my God is not like that. My God is a God of love. He wants me to be happy." The emphasis on God's love and mercy today is probably a reaction to the hellfire and brimstone preaching from the last generation. But could it also be that we've gone to the other extreme? Because where there is no concept of fear and trembling, then we have a problem when it relates to being a Christian. And could this be why a lot of Christians are apathetic in their service, have an I don't care attitude? Could it be that we have forgotten who we should fear if we are negligent in our service? In this lesson, I want to accomplish three things. We need to define the fear of the Lord, and we need to point out why the fear of the Lord is important to the Christian, and then suggest how we can develop a healthy fear of the Lord without going to one extreme or the other. So we begin by defining the phrase fear of the Lord. The word fear in the Hebrew is yirah, and it is used in the Old Testament to describe fear, terror, awesome or terrifying things, such as an object causing fear. It refers to fear of God, respect, reverence, piety. And the Greek word is phobos, and it is used to describe fear, dread, terror, that which strikes terror. Now, in connection with the fear of the Lord, it is often defined as reverence or awe, which is fine as far as it goes. But I wonder if this definition truly goes far enough. Because though the terms reverence and awe imply a place for trembling, I often wonder if most people make the connection. So when we continue our definition of fear of the Lord, the rest of the phrase there, the fear of the Lord, should include a place for trembling. Even as Paul indicated in Philippians 2 and verse 12, by combining fear and trembling. The Greek word for trembling is tromos, and it means a trembling or quaking with fear, just as one would likely tremble in the presence of one who could take our life. And that's what Jesus taught us to fear the Lord, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. A proper fear of the Lord then would include reverence and awe. Hendrickson, in his commentary, says that it would refer to being afraid to offend God in any way. I like that. But a trembling and quaking, as if one knows they have offended God and have not obtained forgiveness. Passages like Hebrews 10, verses 26 and 27, verses 30 and 31 of that same chapter, chapter 12 of Hebrews, verses 28 and 29 would allude to this. Now, the value of an attitude such as this is seen as we continue in our lesson here by noticing the importance of this fear of the Lord. From one of the books of wisdom, the book of Proverbs, we learn in Proverbs 1 and verse 7 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In Proverbs 8 and verse 13, we read that the fear of the Lord will cause one to hate evil. In Proverbs 10 and verse 27, we read the fear of the Lord will prolong life. And in Proverbs 14, verses 26 and 27, we read the fear of the Lord provides strong confidence and is a fountain of life. Again, in Proverbs 16 and verse 6, the fear of the Lord prompts one to depart from evil. And we read that the fear of the Lord leads to a satisfying life and spares one from much evil. Proverbs 19 and verse 23. And finally, we read in Proverbs 22 and verse 4 that the fear of the Lord is the way to riches, honor, and life. So we see here that God's Word tells us where to find fear of the Lord and how it needs to be in our life. I want to suggest to you that a life without this fear of the Lord will close ourselves off to the treasures of God's wisdom and knowledge. And without a fear of the Lord in our lives, we're going to flirt with evil and be corrupted by that very evil. And our lives are likely to be shortened by our refusal to listen and do what God's Word says. For example, we might suffer sexually transmitted diseases because we didn't listen to God's Word on sexual relationships. And we're not going to come to love, to know the love of God that gives us assurance and confidence of our salvation without a fear of the Lord. When we have fallen into sin, we'll not be motivated to repent of that sin and turn back to God. And without a fear of the Lord, we'll not be motivated to truly, as Paul said, work out our own salvation. Without the fear of the Lord, we cannot please God. Isaiah wrote about this in chapter 66, verses 1 and 2. And only the person who trembles at the word of God, who trembles at His word, that person has God's promise to receive His tender mercy. The psalmist would write about this in Psalm 103, verses 17 and 18. So now, how does one develop the proper fear of the Lord without going to the earlier, to the extreme that the earlier generation has? So how do we develop this fear of the Lord? Well, the fear of the Lord comes through the Word of God. Just like Paul speaks in or writes in Romans 10 and verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The same can be said of fear of the Lord. We notice what Moses wrote in Deuteronomy chapter 31, beginning in verse 10, where the children of Israel were told to gather every 7 years to read and hear the Word. Now, they didn't have a Bible laying on the coffee table like you do. So the Word had to be read when they would gather together in the congregation. We begin in verse 10, and it says, "And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time in the year of release, at the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God in the place which He chooses, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing." Now, verse 12, we continue reading. He says, "Gather the people together." Now, notice, no one is left out. He says in verse 12, "Gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates." Why? He says that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God. It takes a reading and understanding of the Word of God in order to have a fear of God. And he goes on and he says, "And carefully observe all the words of this law, and that your children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as you live in the land which you crossed the Jordan to possess." Now we know that the children of God listened, at times anyway, to the Word of God and obeyed His will. That is, as long as there were faithful men to lead the children of Israel. When Joshua died and those elders that led them into the promised land, when they died, the Bible tells us that there arose a generation that knew not God. And I've often wondered why. Well, when we look at passages like this here in Deuteronomy 31, it may be that they stopped gathering the people together to read the Word of God so that they could hear the Word, so that they could learn how to fear the Lord God and to carefully observe all the words of His law. The children didn't have anyone to guide them. But we see here that there is a purpose. The purpose of gathering together, the purpose of reading the Word of God, the purpose of learning the Word of God, he says, was so that they may learn to fear the Lord. Now, as one reads the Word of God, they should gain a healthy degree of the fear of the Lord. We read in passages like what Paul wrote in Romans 2, verses 4 through 11. And at the end, he says that there is no partiality with God. God wants everyone to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. And we can consider what Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3, verses 7 through 14. He wrote there about the destruction, the end of time, that this old world is going to be melted with a fervent heat. And he says, because of the destruction that is coming at the end of time, he said, we should be steadfast to be found without spot and blameless. Now, why would we want this? Why would we strive to find ourselves to be found this way at the end of time? I believe it's because of fear of God, a fear of the Lord. And when we read the Word of God properly used will help us to maintain a proper balance. It is so important to emphasize, however, that to avoid extremes, we must read all of God's Word. It's not like a buffet, as I refer to sometimes, and we can pick and choose what we want to read and what we want to obey. Some people read only those portions that reveal God's love and mercy and have no fear of the Lord, while others emphasize the fire, hell, and brimstone passages and don't know anything about God's everlasting kindness. The one develops an attitude of permissiveness that in return belittles God's holiness and justice, while the other develops a psychosis of terror that forgets that God is gracious and compassionate. Even in the passages that we've noted above, the context of each speaks much about God's grace and forgiveness for those who will repent. So we've got to be careful how we use the Word of God, but we must use it. The psalmist said in Psalm 89, verse 7, that God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. Why do we need the fear of the Lord? Well, it's so we will be sure to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. The warning is necessary, and it's written in the Hebrew letter, chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. I pray that we'll labor to enter into that rest, so that no man may fall after the example of unbelief, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11. So with a proper fear of the Lord, we can work out our salvation. We will labor to enter into that heavenly rest. And having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. Thank you for joining me today. I pray that you'll join us at the Eastside Congregation. We meet this morning at 9 a.m. for Bible study, followed by worship at 10. Look me up on the Facebook Church of Christ, Eastside Church of Christ Facebook page, or follow me at church@eastside.com. Again, thank you.